There was a forgetful husband who just constantly was forgetting his wife's birthday and anniversary, and quite frankly, it frustrated her. And he was trying to figure out how to solve this problem of remembering these special days. So he got an idea, and he went to a florist, and he opened an account, and he signed up for automatic delivery. He gave them the dates for birthday, anniversary, the other special type occasions. He had cards pre-determined and picked out, and he even signed a bunch, and, you know, from your loving husband and so on. He got it all kind of set up in an automated fashion, and then on it went. And boy, his wife was so pleased at this sudden improvement and memory and this display of attention and the things that he was doing for and so on. And it was just fantastic. It was all going great until one day, after many bouquet of flowers had been delivered, he came home from a busy day of work. He kissed his wife. He walked into the kitchen. Then he kind of just set off the cuff. "Oh, those are nice flowers, honey. Who are those from?" And they were from him. And got in a little bit of trouble there. Got a little too automated and wasn't quite having the heart behind maybe that it should have. And we want to learn, how can we meet this need of affection? And the Bible says in John chapter 13 and verse number 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We are to have love one for the other. We're to love one another in this class. We're to love those in the community who maybe do not know the Lord, that through us they would be introduced to the love of Christ. We are to have love permeating through us because we know Christ toward others, and certainly that love should be channeled to our spouse. And the word love here in John chapter 13 carries the idea of a strong affection for another. And when we think about the context of the marriage relationship, it is vitally important that there is strong love, that there is an affection one to the other. And specifically for many wives, the need for affection to be met by their husband. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." And God challenges us as husbands to know the needs of our wife and then to exceed in meeting them. And when you talk with many wives and you begin to study the relationship of marriage, for many women, they would take the need of affection and put it at a very high part of the list of the needs that they might have. It's one that they value. It's one that they would like to see met in and through their marriage. And so, husbands, if we're going to exceed in meeting the need for affection that our wife may have, whatever the priority it may be for her, we've got some learning and some understanding and then some applying to do. And that's the lesson we want to dive into this morning, how to exceed in meeting her need for affection. Let's learn that, number one, by looking at affection defined. Affection defined. What are we talking about when we say we need to exceed her need for affection? What is that? Or what does it mean? And the key here is to understand that God has created women uniquely emotional and relational. God has created women uniquely emotional and relational. Now, we talked last week in the introduction that men and women are very different. We're going to highlight that throughout this series in different ways. But this morning would be in the fact that God has created women emotional and relational. Now, this is something that a lot of guys like to joke about, but it is something that we do have to have an understanding of. It's like the story of the boy that was sitting on the front steps of his home and had his face buried in his hands and was just kind of discouraged. And his dad got home from work and made his way up the sidewalk there to the front porch and looked at his son, who was just sitting there kind of distraught-like. And he said, "Son, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, Dad, just between us, I'm having a hard time getting along with your wife as well." And sometimes in the context of our homes, it may not be going like we want it to go. And within the context of our marriage, we may not be getting along we'd like to. There may be some friction or some tension. And sometimes we can chalk it up, guys, to, well, you know, she's just being emotional. She cares about that too much. She's making too big of a deal about that. And sometimes we dismiss it and kind of shift the blame to this is why, and it really doesn't matter. But the reality is that God has made our wives unique, and they are by nature, by creation, by design, very emotional and very relational. And it's something that a committed, godly husband strives to understand, to roll up his sleeves and get involved so that he can exceed in meeting this need. That's why the Bible challenges you and I in 1 Peter 3:7 that likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I did a wedding Friday night, and one of the things I said to the bride and the groom was, you've got a lot to learn, and every husband in this room has a lot to learn. Brother Rule has a lot to learn. None of us have arrived. None of us have figured it all out. None of us have got it all working just right. We all have much to learn. And God says, I want you to dwell according to knowledge. I want you to be passionate about learning so that you can meet the needs of your wife as the weaker vessel, as heirs together, that your prayers be not hindered. So what is affection? What is this relational, emotional bond that I need to meet in the life of my wife? Let me give you some criteria. First of all, it involves, letter A, the communication of care. When we meet the need of affection in the heart of our bride, it communicates that we care about them. Now, this is not communication of our appreciation for what they do. Okay, so this is not me communicating to Susanna, thank you for breakfast, thank you for ironing, thank you for this, thank you for that. That's a good thing to do. We might talk about that later in this series, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Affection is a communication of care. It's not a communication of appreciation for what they do. Rather, it is a communication of appreciation for who they are. That we appreciate them as a person. That we care for them. That we are communicating heartfelt care and concern for who they are. And fellas, I just wanted to ask you an honest question this morning. If we surveyed your wife and asked her this question, does your husband care about you? Does he care about you? It's a communication of care. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying means to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Fellas, we want to be communicating into the life of our wife in a way that builds them up, that convinces them they're special, that communicates to them we care, that communicates to them we appreciate who they are. We're challenged in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, always with grace. Speaking kindly, speaking lovingly, speaking in a way that is assuring her of our appreciation for who she is. Now, guys, when we learn to speak this language, this communication of care, trying to meet and exceed this need of affection, let me give you a couple of pointers. One area that wives often like to hear communication about is commitment. Often in marriage counseling and dealing with couples and so on, you'll often hear a wife say, I just wish he would talk about his commitment to me. And I don't know that a wife ever grows tired of a husband saying to her, sweetheart, I love you. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to our relationship. I just want you to know that all of me is all of yours. Communicating the care of our commitment. A wife needs this security. She needs to know that she can count on us. She needs to know that she's going to be provided for, and that's our job, and we're going to talk about that through this series, but we want to communicate that care, and when we're communicating that care, we're highlighting our commitment, and we should also be highlighting our unconditional acceptance. Every wife in this room should be convinced that her husband unconditionally accepts her for who she is. One of the needs within a marriage relationship is this security that everything's going to be okay. And when a wife begins to feel like she's no longer accepted, something's happened, something's changed, someone else has got someone's eye, whatever it may be, there is a legitimate jealousy that stirs in the heart. And there is a friction and a tension that begins to grow. And the house can begin to feel as cold as ice. And it doesn't take very long. And one of the ways to dispel that is certainly to live righteously before the Lord. But secondly, as you communicate, to be communicating that unconditional acceptance, to be communicating the fact that you love her for who she is. And it's not about what she does for you or how she looks all the time. It's just you love her. This is God's gift to you, and you're communicating that care. But then letter B, this affection involves the cement of connection. The cement of connection. Now, affection is one of the primary ways to intimately connect with your wife. And you say, now, Brother Rule, I think you've got that wrong. That's not the primary way I intimately connect with my wife. Okay, let me read that again then. Affection is one of the primary ways to intimately connect with your wife. Now, what did we learn last week by way of introduction? The uniquenesses. We're different. And if we go into this series thinking, well, I know what I need, and I hope that our marriage exceeds in that area, we're going to be gravely mistaken in trying to be the best husband or the best wife that we can be. You see, the best husband or the best wife is not concerned with their needs and constantly thinking about how is my spouse doing in meeting my needs, but rather, a godly husband and wife is thinking about how am I doing in meeting the needs of my spouse? Do I know what those needs are? And am I meeting them abundantly in their life? And affection is one of the primary ways to intimately connect with your wife. It's one of the great needs that she has. And to her, it symbolizes this security, this protection, this comfort, this approval that you have of her that is so vitally important in your relationship. And from a woman's point of view, oftentimes, affection is the essential cement to the relationship. It's you allowing her into a part of your life that nobody else knows about. She's knowing you at a level nobody else knows. She's hearing you talk at a level that nobody else hears, and how you feel, and specifically how you feel for her. And when that affection is not there, when that communication, when that closeness, when that intimate connection in this way is not there, a wife can oftentimes feel alienated from her husband. And sometimes a husband will be frustrated because the physical intimacy is not where he wants it to be. But for the wife, she's trying to get over the fact that they're not emotionally connected. So for her to be physically involved with her husband when there's not the emotional connection, for her, it feels like a violation. How can I open up to him and be physically intimate when we're not intimate? When we're not connected? When at the heart level, we're not even close? It feels like we're miles apart. And I'm telling you, it's a struggle in the heart. And you and I as husbands need to recognize that this is foundational to the relationship of marriage. And we have to be meeting this need of affection. We have to be tightening that bond that we share together in that relationship. And we want to make sure that our wife is getting our time, that there's enough time, that it's the right kind of time, that it's uninterrupted, that it's quality, that there's focus there, that we're listening to her, that we're spending time face-to-face, connecting intimately, making sure meeting and exceeding this need of affection. Thirdly, letter C, it's the character of companionship. The character of companionship. Affection is the environment of the marriage. Affection is a way of life. It's a canopy that covers and protects the marriage relationship. Fellas, it is our opportunity and responsibility to directly and convincingly express to our wife our care. I don't know what it is. You name to me something you really care about. It might be your truck. It might be your rifle. It might be your, I don't know, your jersey. I don't know. But there's something in your life you care about. And the way we know you care about it is the way you treat it. You know, you're the guy at Walmart that parks way over there and takes up four stalls. Right? I mean, you got a gun safe the size of, you know, whatever the Army needs, but it's because that rifle's in there. And we got to have it. Or this particular trophy or whatever. And it has this prominent place, and it's consistently polished, and it's always talked about when the guests arrive. Why? Because you care about it. Okay, so whatever that is in your life, and it might be a techno gadget, I don't know what it is, but you think about it. Whatever it is in your life, and we know you care by the way it is treated. Now stop and think for a moment. The way you've treated your wife the last 6 days, if we could replay it up here for the class to watch, would that evidence the fact you care? Would that behavior and would that communication prove he cares? He cares. Look at his actions. This man cares. It's giving this affection to your bride. It's cherishing and nurturing her relationship. It's giving her this attention. And the affection is so important. And we have to understand what it is. And then we've got to learn to speak that language. And we've got to learn to put that behavior into action. So let's look secondly then at affection developed. Okay, we get it. Affection. We've got to communicate how special she is and behave in this way. How do we develop that in our lives? And I just want to encourage every man underneath the sound of my voice this morning, affection can be learned. And I would go a step further and say, for most of us, probably 99.9% of us, it has to be learned. Because it's not natural. It's not the way we think. It's not the way we talk. It's not the way we behave. It's not who we are. Thank God that the men are not like the women in that way, naturally, okay? Or we would need a whole other class and a whole other series. So we're learning stuff that is not second nature to us just out of the gate. It's something that has to be learned and has to be honed. And all men have to recognize, I can learn this, and I've got to be willing to receive some instruction, and then I've got a desire to meet and exceed this need in the life of my spouse. It's like the story of the elderly couple, and they were out having dinner together at a nice restaurant, and they were just kind of sitting there, not really a lot to talk about, just kind of enjoying the meal and so on. And the wife was kind of scanning the various people there in the restaurant, and she noticed this other elderly couple kind of sitting in a booth nearby. And as she was kind of watching them, the husband was sitting so close to the wife, and his arm was around her, and he was whispering things in her ear, and she was giggling and smiling and blushing, and he was rubbing her shoulder and patting her hair, and they were just so enjoying the time together. And finally, the wife looked at her husband, and you know, he's chopping away at that Caesar salad, and she said, "Honey, you see that couple over there? Look at how that man is treating his wife and how he's talking to her, and look at how sweet he's being. Why don't you ever do that?" And the man kind of looked up from a Caesar salad, you know, had some of it kind of hanging out of his mouth, you know, and he kind of looked over trying to figure out who she was talking about. And then he looked right back at her and he said, "Honey, sweetheart, I don't even know that woman." And, he just didn't get it. I mean, it just went right over his head. He didn't even know what she was wanting from him. And sometimes we're being asked to do something that does not come natural to us, but we've got to be determined. We've got to learn, and we've got to apply. So how do we do that? Letter A, examine the scriptures. Now, 1 Corinthians, and we've got to hasten for sake of time. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication," you could take those three words as the theme for verses 2 to 5. "Yeah, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other." Now, as we look at this need to show affection to our bride, we've got to understand this is the command of the Word of God. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 7, again, verses 2 through 5 is there to avoid fornication. In other words, God is saying, "I'm giving you this instruction to promote faithfulness in your marriage relationship and to prevent infidelity. I'm trying to give you something that's going to help you be strong," all right? And what is it? Well, let's break these words down quickly for sake of time. First of all, notice the word render. We read it there in Corinthians. He said, "Let the husband render unto the wife." Now, the word render means to give willingly, gladly, and with a loving heart of service. So God says, "I want you to render, gladly give." He said, "I want you to render that which is due." He said, "Let the husband render unto the wife due." Now, the word due there means what is promised, what is deserved, or what has been vowed to be given. He says, "Render, do," and then benevolence. What does the word benevolence mean? Benevolence is gracious or unconditional generosity in giving to the benefit of the other. So here's what God is saying to us as husbands. Fellas, I want you to render due benevolence. What does that mean? I want you to gladly fulfill your promise abundantly. That's what I want you to do. When you stood at the marriage altar and you said, I do, you say, Brother Rule, I had no idea when I said those words that I was promising for stuff like this. It's all in the fine print. You're going to learn about it for the rest of your married life, all right? So when you stood here and you said, I do, you are now to render due benevolence. You are to gladly meet the need, the promise, the vow, the needs in a way that is being done abundantly. Why? Because the Bible goes on to say, defraud ye not. The word defraud there means to keep back. It literally means to commit fraud. It means that if we're not willing to render due benevolence, then we are committing a crime against our spouse by not meeting these needs. Fellas, let's every one of us in this room commit. We're not going to be a fraud. We're not going to stand at a marriage altar and say, I do. We're not going to grace this class with a Bible and a smile and get our coffee and get our donut and sit here and then go home and be a fraud. We're not going to do it. We're going to examine the Word of God and recognize I've got work to do. I made a commitment and a vow. I need to know what her needs are, and then I've got to meet them. And if I don't have any motivation in my corner to do that, let Corinthians provide the motivation. This is what I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to gladly meet the need that I vowed abundantly with all of my ability. So examine the scriptures, let it be. Then edify your spouse. How do we develop this affection in our relationship? We must choose to gladly meet this most important need of our wife, to edify, to build her up. And sometimes an obstacle to this is that we're not motivated to do it because it's not a high need for us. Not a lot of husbands need their wives to come to them and say, sweetheart, I just want you to know I'm committed to you. Now, some may, but many don't hold that near as high as a priority as many wives do. And so it may not be motivated by something we need, but it is something she needs, and that should motivate us enough. The Bible says in Luke 6:31, and as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them. Sometimes we can growl about the fact, well, I'm not the affectionate type. But we would never put up for our wife saying, well, I'm not the sexual type. I mean, we would want marriage counseling now. Emergency session. Brother Earl, how many lessons can we spend on that and exceed? We've got a problem. 911. So in our mind, that's unacceptable. But our spirit sometimes of, well, I'm just not the affectionate type. I just don't get emotional that way. I just don't talk that way. But that somehow is okay. Because that's just who we are. That's the way we've always been. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And the husband has to take the commitment. I'm going to edify my spouse. I'm going to meet those needs. And I'm going to grow and do so abundantly well. How do I do it? Letter C, establish a system. Now, I'm so excited about this part. Establish a system. Now, guys, listen to me. Knowing what your spouse needs does not meet that need. Oh, wouldn't that be nice if that were true? Wouldn't that be great if we could sit in a lesson like this and be like, I get it. And then go home and it was all fixed. It was all good. We were meeting the need. I mean, it was just like, yes, it doesn't work that way. Knowing what she needs does not meet that need. We have to learn habits that transforms our lives and puts the knowledge into action so we can exceed in meeting that need. We've got to find the behaviors that communicate to her affection. And then we've got to begin to practice them. Now, at first, I'm just telling you up front, guys, it's going to feel unnatural and awkward. The first time you look at her in the eyes and you tell her what you want to tell her, or the first time you grab her by the hand and you walk down the corridor of the mall, if you're not in the habit of doing that, it's going to feel weird. But I just want to encourage you that if you'll continue to develop those things, eventually it will become second nature to you. And we must strive to establish a system of showing affection. Now, here's some practical ideas. I'm going to run through them for sake of time. Give her a hug. Write her a note. Buy her flowers. Take her out to dinner. Open the door for her. car door, on the way into church, whatever. Hold her hand. Touch her when in her presence. And by the way, that touch in the bedroom, there should be a different touch in the lobby of the church. That was revelational, wasn't it? Man, I'm glad I came to His design today, you know. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper, I'm telling you. But you know what, fellas? Let's be honest. Sometimes that touch comes very natural. But the touch of holding a hand or putting an arm around or just showing affection that way, that's a non-sexual touch, that's something we have to learn and incorporate into our relationship. Being physical without being sexual. Initiate taking a walk together. Give her a back rub. Call her during the day. See how she's doing. Send her a text periodically to let her know how much she means to you and how much you love her. Spend time alone with her. Focus on her. Laugh together. Run an errand for her. Make her your top priority. Establish a system and show affection. You say, Brother Rule, I would have no idea how to do that. I have come to your rescue. In your bulletin, I want you to find this piece of paper. It says succeed, and right underneath that, it says week 2 homework. I want every man in this room holding this piece of paper. Fellas, I can only give you so many prompts. I know where I'm going through this entire series. It's in your best interest to do what I'm about to tell you to do. All right, here we go. Now, it says succeed, and it says week 2 homework. Everybody got that so far? Now, here is your assignment, okay? Now, this is for men. This is for real men, okay? You got hair on your legs. You can handle these kinds of things. That's what this assignment is for, all right? I'm just telling you straight up. This is not for feeble-kneed fellas. This is for men, okay? Here's the assignment. You take this piece of paper. You go to your wife and you say to her, sweetheart, I would like for you to write down for me 5 ways that you would like for me to show you affection. What? Yeah, that's exactly what I thought I was going to get right there. Thank you, Harold. Now, how can I express my affection to you? What do you want? And you give it to her. You don't watch her write it down. You let her write this down. 5 ways she can show affection. Then you ask for it back. Now, guys, listen, that's not the end of it. I put something else at the bottom there. Says what? Date discussed. Here's part 2 of this homework assignment. You say, Brother Rule, this is crazy. I'm never coming back. You're not going to miss next week. So hang in there with me, all right? Now, date discussed. So you give this to her, sweetheart. What's 5 ways? You get it back. Then you plan the date discussed. It might be one night. You put the kids to bed. You go to the living room, son of the couch, or the kitchen table, whatever. You might do a Starbucks coffee date. You might take her to dinner. Whatever. But between now and next Sunday, here's the homework. Give her the form. Sweetheart, 5 ways I can show you my affection. Get it back. Plan the discussion date. At the discussion date, you sit down and say, now, number 1, you said you wanted me to, you know, whatever. And I just want to make sure I understand what that even means. And could you explain that a little bit? I just want to get a little more information on that one and make sure I understand it, okay? And then number 2, and you work through the 5 together, fellas. You work through the 5 together. You make sure you understand. Then you can mark down the date. Some of you, it's going to be next Saturday at 11 p.m. I already know it. And you're going to write down the date. We discussed it. We did it. Then you take this and you put it into your life. You might type it in on your phone. You might, you know, put this in a briefcase. You might put in a leaflet of your Bible. I don't know what you're going to do. But you're going to keep these things and you're going to incorporate them in the way you live and behave and communicate. How can I share affection? And I'm excited every week in this series to add some homework. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thirdly, and I'm out of time, affection displayed. What happens in a marriage when affection is displayed from the husband to the wife? Letter A, they find that they're practicing the scriptures. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not timid of sin. I don't think we have a man like this in this room, but there might be one that says, Brother Rule, this is all funny and it's all great, but I'm not going to fool around with this. Guys, can I encourage you? Don't treat it like that. There may be a need we talk about in this series that in your mind could be a take or leave it. But if you knew the heart of your spouse, she's crying. I hope he hears this. We so desperately need this in our relationship. And I may speak of a need that isn't a big need for her, and that's okay. She might communicate to you a need I don't even talk about in this series. but it's a big deal to her, which means it should be a big deal to you. And when it is, and when you modify your behavior and you meet that need, you are practicing the Word of God. You're meeting that need and you're fulfilling that vow. Let it be, you're pleasing your spouse. Would it not be amazing if every marriage represented or his design class 10 weeks from now was doing better in the area of pleasing our spouse than we were before? Would that not be a great outcome of this time of studying God's Word? And let's strive for that. I want to please my spouse. I want to be the spouse and the husband that she wants me to be. And by the way, make it your goal. You're going to be the one to meet that need. Boy, sometimes ladies turn to all kinds of crazy stuff to have these needs met because, quite frankly, the husband isn't meeting them. Guys, let's have a desire that starts in our toes and all the way to our head that says, hey, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to meet that need in her life. And every interaction between us and our spouse should communicate, I care about you. And then thirdly, letter C, it is the precursor for physical intimacy. When affection is displayed in a marriage relationship, it is the precursor for physical intimacy. What does that mean? Well, when it comes to sex and affection, you cannot have one without the other. Remember what I said earlier in this lesson? Affection is the environment of the marriage. Sex is just an event. And sometimes men, we make the mistake of thinking it's all that. And by the way, for us it may be. We'll look at that a little closer next week. But I want us to understand affection is the environment of the marriage. Does your marriage have the environment where your wife is convinced, he loves me, I'm special to him, he truly cares? Does your marriage say that? And if it doesn't, or if it's not as strong as it could be, can I just encourage you? Let's roll up our sleeves this week and say, okay, I'm going to grow in this area. And I'm going to take the challenge, as scary as it is, I'm going to give her this piece of paper. And she might give me back 5 pieces of paper. I don't know. But I'm going to let her loose on it. And I'm going to tell her to give it to me. And then I'm going to have the date. And we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to implement whatever those are. And some wives are thinking, Brother Roel, you ought to give me, you know, 10 slots, whatever. Hey, I started with 3. And then in a moment of bravery, I said, maybe five. And so we made, all the guys were like, you should have just made it 1, you know, whatever. And we'll get there. I hope we have a lot of fun through this series, but I hope we see a lot of change. And I hope we see husbands and wives growing as Christians and as spouses and exceeding in meeting these needs. And guys, let's take the challenge and let's do the homework. And let's open up a conversation with our wife and let's learn. I'm going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. If you have your 4 outreach card, be sure to give that to the guys in the back as well. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning and studying your word. And Lord, I pray that you would greatly strengthen our marriages. We want to exceed, not just meeting the needs of our spouse, but exceed them. And Lord, we got to know what they are. And today, as we learn about the affection that she so desperately desires, may we strive to be that husband that understands the need, that is growing and meeting the need, and that is fulfilling our biblical responsibility to exceed in meeting the need of affection in her heart and in her life. May we be willing this week to prompt the discussion, to learn firsthand, what does she need? What can I do for her? And then to put those things into practice until the point where they become second nature and a part of our relationship. Oh, what great fruit that would be from this time in your word this morning. Bless our class and the marriages represented here. I pray your richest blessing upon them this week. Bring us back safely next Sunday as we continue in this study of exceed, learning how to exceed his need for physical intimacy. We'll praise and thank you for what we're learning. Help us to apply it in Jesus' name.